on this Easter Sunday. It's always appropriate when Christians gather together. Matter of fact, in the Bible, the word church means, really, ecclesia stands for called out ones to gather frequently for a common purpose. Called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. That's the word church. Many times people think the word church means maybe a structure, or church means a denomination, or people that just have a social kind of a format, maybe small gatherings, home groups. But the church really are people who have accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord. And that is, as Scripture says in Acts 4, that God added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's the entrance level to the church. So on this Easter day, we're gathering. It looks a little different, but our format is, as a church, we pray. And I'm holding here more prayer requests. And prayer is going to look a little bit different, but I want to also be mindful that today, you who are participating by viewing this service, that we have not only those who call Hope Chapel their home church, and we're grateful for, that's why we have it here in the chapel, but we also know that we have seekers that are also viewing. We're glad that you're here. Oh, we're so thrilled. You're maybe checking out and seeing how much of God you're going to involve in your own life, and we welcome that, but we want to kind of demonstrate our time of prayer for everyone and invite all of us to pray. Prayer is really a format and an entry level always to access Almighty God. And for people who pray, we know this, that prayer always would be just, we petition God's character, His care, His compassion, and He's so good. And we also just, then we go into that element of confession. We really cannot and do not have our own merit with which we come to you. We confess our sin. And then finally, we look and gaze to you. We wait on the Lord. We know He's going to answer. Well, there is a movement today that is really asking that this Easter Sunday would also involve a national day of repentance. And if anybody would know what that's all about, it would be the Christians. Repentance for our nation, because Scripture talks about, if my people called by my name would turn from their wicked ways and repent, pray and repent. That word repent means 180. We maybe could be believers in God, but we definitely have moved away from an area of obedience, walking with the Lord. So we're just going to pray now, not only for the requests so many of you have submitted, you've been prayed for, but we want to stand today and pray for our nation. And we want to give God a segue by saying, Lord, the church, the one you bought for with your own blood, we want to ask, Lord, wash us anew. Forgive us of our sins. Come, Lord, and restore your church, not only in the United States of America, but we're contending for the removal of this pandemic globally as well. We believe we're dealing with a situation that is beyond our control. And I want to highlight before we pray, I looked over the scripture and it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. A Judean king, his name is Jehoshaphat. He is in a form of panic, little desperation, but very confident in his prayer to Almighty God. Here's verse 9 where he says this, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and you will save. We're believing that. That's a tremendous prayer. It goes on, the balance of those verses. It's not only an overwhelming prayer, but the conclusion is even better. It's in verse 12, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, where he says, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I remember reading that the first time. I thought, how poetic this prayer is. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do with this virus that is swirling around our world and affecting our nation. Our eyes are upon the Lord. For many of us, we realize we feel powerless. We don't know if we've gone and contracted that virus. We would not know. Many of us are feeling anxiety because the specialists do not know a remedy. They're working on that, and they're helping those who are afflicted and comforting those who have lost loved ones. And for so many of us, we're discouraged. We're discouraged because we spend way too much time looking at the infectious and the death rates that are going up. Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I say to all of us this very Easter that we want to say once again, Lord, we want to lay our lives before you and seek your forgiveness. Jesus was the one who said so clearly in his word that we are to worry about nothing and pray about everything, and the peace of God will come upon you. So one or the other, it'll either usher in peace or panic if we continue to worry. Today we want to pray. I want to highlight one last verse. It's still in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and it says about us who are believers and followers of God. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's what we're about to do right now. I know for each of us, we have our own personal journey, but for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there could be those times where we have taken advantage of God's mercy and have gone our own way. But today we get to come back. And for the sake of many, many people, that we want to stand in the gap and contend for that. Once again, I'm going to invite you, as Jehoshaphat said, when we stand in this place, knowing your name is here, his presence is with you now. If you are able to stand, will you stand with me? Will you stand and let's just once again humble ourselves, thanking God he's helped us in so many ways, but for the sake of our land needs healing. And let's let the church of the Lord Jesus be those that usher in that healing power of Almighty God, because we will not let sin or disobedience infiltrate. So, Lord, we lift our hearts up to you right now. And we really don't know. We've not been in this situation before. There's not one person on this planet that says we've gone through this before. Lord, but we know this, our eyes are upon you. And we want to say to you, Almighty God, have mercy. Have mercy, first of all, upon us, because we dwell among a land that has really belittled human life and human dignity and has cheapened that by just eradicating even the unborn. But Lord, we ask, Lord, have mercy on us. There's so many broken people, and we overlook them and bypass them, and it seems like it's every man for himself. But Lord, today we say, use us, Almighty God. Let the power of the blood of our Lord Jesus wash us clean and come into our homes and fill our lives afresh and fill us with renewing of hope, gladness, and joy, knowing that you're working, Lord. You have promised that you would forgive our sins and heal our land. So today we want to thank you, Lord, for the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection, making all this possible. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to add something that just came to mind while I was just praying. And please don't be alarmed if you've ever heard a person have a prophecy, a gift of prophecy. I'm about to give that gift of prophecy. I just feel that there are a number of us that would even say to themselves, how can I have that assurance that God has forgiven my sins? I want to address that, and that gift of prophecy, you could find that in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 14:3. If any man speaks a word of prophecy, he speaks to men words of edification and of comfort and of encouragement. So I want to believe right now that this is going to be one that will bring help and wholeness to you. Thank you for being here, but I feel in my heart the Lord would say to you, my dear one, if you are feeling, how could God forgive me? I want you to know once again that it was on the cross of my Son. It was on the cross that sin was condemned, that sin was judged. I do not want to judge you. I want to come and spare you and save your life. For I remember telling that in the Garden of Eden, it's recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, that the payment, the punishment of disobedience would carry the death penalty. But my Son has come to you. And it was on the cross that he paid the price for the debt of sin for all of mankind. You say, well, how? How, O Lord, can I have that reassurance that my debt of sin has been forgiven? I want you to remember, it's the resurrection that I show to humanity. It's the resurrection that I declare that the payment of the debt of sin, your sin, I accept that payment through the sacrifice of my Son. It comes at a great cost. It is the greatest purchase in all of history, the purchase of your salvation. Therefore, it has great benefits. So no longer say, will I be forgiven? I say to you, the proof is in the resurrection. The payment has been paid in full, and all you have to do is receive and accept that wonderful gift of grace through my Son, Jesus, who died and rose to life. From this moment, as you trust in that gift of eternal life through Jesus, my Son, that you will no longer be held under the power or the penalty of sin. I ask you, dear one, do not attempt to pay for your own debt of sin. Tell everyone that they can be free from the penalty of sin. Therefore, you who have known me and walked with me for a long time, I'm asking you, get back into my book. Read my word. Would you store my word into your heart? For you who have walked with me and have trusted in me for many years, because of the resurrection, you too can trust in all of my promises found in my book. Therefore, you, dear one, remember my word in Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Therefore, on this occasion, sins are forgiven. Hope renewed. Enjoy the power of the resurrection. You too will have a happy, happy resurrection. Lord, we want to thank you for that right now. And if that word was for you, I know it had so many parts for me, then I want to even invite you right now. We've already asked God to forgive us of our sins. We've already asked God to come and heal our land. Let's not have any doubt that God not only loves you, he wants to embrace you. That's really what Christianity is all about, a relationship with Almighty God. Not just a belief system, not just a duty roster. God wants to come and be with you. Let me lead you in that simple little declaration right now. Repeat these words after me. I do believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. And I declare today that I have made him my Savior for all eternity. He is my God and my King. And his peace and his joy will know no limits. It is mine forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that was powerful. And I want to thank God for what you just declared and hope that you're able to somehow extend what you just prayed and how God moved right there in your setting. I know he's there with you. I can sense his presence so there with you. What a great Easter. I know if I could just see your faces, so many of us have just called the church, emailed, have texted us. I miss everyone at Hope Chapel. I miss even going to church. So on this occasion, we typically would just say, wasn't that phenomenal worship? Wasn't God's presence so sweet and significant? And then we'd say, greet each other. Well, we have a special treat for you right now. We have some people that might be familiar to you that want to extend a happy Easter. a happy resurrection. Will you enjoy right now a gift to you from so many?
Happy Easter, Hope Chapel. We love and miss you very much.
Good morning, Hope Chapel.
Bob and Melanie here.
We miss you very much.
Have a wonderful Easter.
Remember, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hi, Kimo and Lori here. Just wanting to let you know that we're praying for you guys. We love you, and we can't wait to see your face to face.
Happy Easter, everyone. Have a great Sunday. And until we see each other again, God bless you.
Oh, Hope Chapel. Happy Easter from the Tracy family.
Hello from Sean and Crystal Hersey.
Hi.
Wishing you a happy Resurrection Sunday and hoping we can see you guys soon.
Happy Easter from Joan Barita and family.
Hey everyone, happy Resurrection Day from Kelly Marvin. Miss you guys, love you all.
Hope Chapel.
We miss you!
Happy Easter, everybody.
From the McCurdys.
Happy Resurrection Sunday.
From Pam and Paul, we miss you, Hope Chapel.
Hi everybody, it's Judy Secor. Happy Resurrection Day. Love you guys.
Hello, Hope Chapel family. From our house to yours.
In our jammies.
In our jammies.
Happy Resurrection Day. We love you. See you soon. Bye.
Hi, everyone. Happy Easter Resurrection Sunday from Deason family. Miss you all.
Happy Easter from the Mitchells.
Happy Easter, Hope Chapel.
From the McGee family. Aloha.
Happy Resurrection Day, kids.
And happy Easter to all of our friends at Hope Chapel.
Oh, yes.
We miss you and we'll see you soon.
Hi, everyone at Hope Chapel. Have a happy Easter Resurrection Sunday. Have a blessed week. Stay safe with Christian love from Kathy Roman.
Hi, Jim Thornton Jr. here with a quick shout out and blessings to my church congregation, family, friends, live streamers, and soon to be believers. May this greeting find you healthy and or healing with hope on this Easter Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. Amen.
Hello, Hope Chapel.
It's Nicolette.
And David.
And baby Lil. And we just wanted to wish you
Happy Easter Sunday.
Hallelujah. He is alive. We love and miss you all so much. And we can't wait to fellowship with you in person.
Hey, everybody at Hope Chapel. This is the Garcias. We just want to wish you a Happy Easter. We love you guys. We miss you. And we can't wait to see everybody back at Hope Chapel. Hope you're all staying safe and healthy. And again, Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Resurrection Day, Hope Chapel. We love you, church family.
Hey, Hope Chapel family, it's Don and Sandy Godwin coming to you from Mexico. Want to say Happy Resurrection Day.
Feliz Pascua. We love you.
Well, friends, welcome back, and I'm hoping that you really enjoyed that. Wasn't that fun to see so many smiling faces in their little safer-at-home venue? And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for all of you who sent in your little clips of recording. Well, I actually have my Bible, and I'm just so honored once again to bring an Easter message to you today. It's a delightful message. It is entitled Easter, When Sorrow Turns to Joy. You know, last Sunday we were together and it was Palm Sunday, and I heard a cute little story and I want to pass it on to you. It's about a little boy named Johnny, 5 years of age. Because he had a sore throat, his family left him home with dear auntie. And when they came back, they all had palm branches. And little Johnny said, well, what are those palm branches for? And so the family said, well, that's what the people waved over the head of Jesus as he walked on by. And Johnny in disgust says, oh, you've got to be kidding me. The one Sunday I stay at home and he shows up. Can you imagine that? Well, he's here today with us. And I thank God that he is. So I'm glad this is really, no doubt about it, this is Easter Sunday. Jesus is risen. You know what tomorrow holds? Tomorrow is when all that Easter candy goes half price. I just want to throw that out there. All those chocolate Easter bunnies, all those plastic eggs, half price. And I'm sure the only thing maybe still left on the rack are something called Peeps. Yeah, I don't know of anybody. Well, I do know a couple people that like eating Peeps. those little things called like a mushroom. And some people I know like them. The older they are, the more crusty, the crustacean. You talk about a gnarly thing. But anyway, you can get those, I'm sure, tomorrow. But today, it's our excited moment to look over the Word of God. I'm in John chapter 16. Again, the message entitled, Easter, When Sorrow Turns to Joy. Father, thank you for opening our hearts. You have already done that. And we already sense something new and fresh in our setting and at home and with our family. So thank you, Lord, for just adding to the joy of the season, the joy of Easter morning. In Jesus' name. You know, it's interesting as we take a look, cannot help but recognize because so many of us have to distance ourselves because of what's happening in our nation and around the world. Really, you would almost say it's a catastrophic event, this COVID-19. People are having to separate, and we're wondering, wow, and there's sorrow in the mixture of people feeling safe and secure, but they're hiding, and they're safe, but they're away from humanity. And the setting of John 16 is where the disciples are actually gathered with Jesus in the Last Supper. In just a few short hours, Jesus will be arrested, and he will be really condemned to death, die. And Jesus knows that. So you can imagine 2,000 years ago, there were some questions about that. When Jesus did die, it was just on Friday, we mark it as Good Friday, that he ended up suffering and dying for the sins of the world. And the disciples were behind closed doors wondering, maybe we're next. Everybody was wondering, what's next? Maybe you're considering that. When is this going to happen and finish off, and how can we get back to our normal routine? 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross, sorrow filled the land. There were still others who were the enemies of Jesus. They questioned what would be next as well. It's cited in Matthew chapter 27, verse 64. Matthew 27, 64, where the religious leaders went to the authorities and said, set up guards around the tomb, because that deceiver said that he would raise in 3 days. And so if, in fact, the disciples might even steal the body of Jesus, and therefore the second deception would be even worse than the first. People were not sure what to expect. We know today, don't we? 2,000 years removed from the resurrection, glory to God. We know that shortly after the resurrection, just really days after, that on Pentecost, that there were thousands of people that streamed into Jerusalem. And thousands gave their hearts to Jesus on a simple little message by Peter in Acts 2. It was found that even Saul of Tarsus, when he converted to Christianity, he spread the gospel to the north and to the east. And by the end of the first century, that Christianity was proclaimed throughout the entire Roman Empire. Amazing. By the end of the fourth century, that Christianity was the main religion in the Roman Empire. And now when we take a look 2,000 years later, there is well over 2 billion people adhering to faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You might be one of those right now, and we thank God for that. But when we look here, we're seeing in John chapter 16, we're dealing with where Jesus is with his disciples. The majority of John's gospel is dealing with the last week of what we would call the Passion of Christ. So you can imagine, what does our Heavenly Father want us to focus in on? Really, the redemption story through the cross and resurrection. But it's in John chapter 16, and I'm going to begin with verse 16, because he's talking to the disciples. He knows what's before him. That's what we love about the Lord. That's what's so significant about us who are wondering what's next, what is our life going to be like? Because in this setting, Jesus knew that in a few short hours, again, he would be arrested, that he would face a mock trial, that he would be condemned to death and then die. He also knew while he was there on the Last Supper, he recognized that Judas would betray him, that Peter would deny him, and that all the disciples would become confused and run off. But yet, he's so confident and courageous. The Lord, our Savior, He knows what's ahead. That's why we gather around, even on this occasion, when we read the scripture, God knows your future. God knows our future. And today's message is so significant because I want to highlight it with the three personal benefits of the resurrection. Let's take a look. The first one really being a living hope, a living hope. I want to look at verse 16 with you. And it says, a little while, Jesus says, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. And then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? While we do not know what he says, now Jesus knew that they had desired to ask him, and then he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. That's the title of our message, When Sorrow is Turned into Joy. And our first point, a living hope. There is a living hope. You can imagine the situation. The disciples had no clue what Jesus was talking about. There's other references. I mean, these are the close men and women that just could not understand what Jesus was talking about. He was describing how that he was going to die and rise on the third day. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 describes that. He says, I'm going into Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen. On the third day, I'd rise. You know, he's dealing with this, and they did not realize what was going on. The disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying. Their hopes that Christ was going to be everything they anticipated was dashed when they saw him hang on the cross. Their confidence just went down. But when they recognized and saw him, there was such hope that was renewed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 describes about this living hope. 1 Peter 1, 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, can you imagine a living hope? Why is it a living hope? Because everybody has hope. Everybody is more like wishful thinking. Well, I really hope that things turn around. I really hope I'm able to maintain my job. But what that is like I'm wishing, I'm hoping that I hope it happens. But a living hope is always possible because of the one who resurrected. Man, the one who declared things, knowing what's going to happen, brings such a vibrancy. Anything is possible with God. That's why it's a living hope. Can you imagine the disciples? They were just in their everyday life before Jesus called them and says, please come follow me. That they were just doing, most of them were fishermen. They just woke up, went fishing every day. Some of you might say, well, that is life. That's kind of like close to heaven, fish every day. But can you imagine, though, fishing every day, maintaining your family, going to bed, waking up, going to work, fishing, coming home, maintaining your family, going to bed. Routine, there's something of a subtle comfort in a routine. Many of you like and you thrive on that. But then something happens when Jesus comes in on the scene and he asks us, come, follow me. I want to remind us, that's so important. When Jesus said, come, follow me, he didn't say, you go ahead and tell me, come follow you. In other words, sometimes Christians say, hey, Jesus, you come follow me. This is what I'm going to be doing. But the Lord says, no, you come and follow me. At the time when just learning and watching and observing the miraculous, you can imagine so much of what Jesus was telling them, I'm going away, it did not make sense. Maybe what you're facing or how you're experiencing, maybe areas of anxiety or uncertainty about your future, you are facing things that just don't make sense to you right now. but they will. You're going to see the outcome, the end results, like the disciples. They're going to see when they realize that Jesus resurrected from the dead. There was an amazing awareness of what Jesus did say. That's why they recorded things. They remembered what he said. Some examples are John 11, verse 25. They wrote it and declared that Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." They also remembered all of a sudden, seeing that Jesus resurrected, yes, and he also said this in John chapter 14, verse 6. They wrote down what they heard Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So you can imagine how wonderful, not just a living hope, but a lasting joy. That's our second point, a lasting joy. Let's look for a moment. Let's go back to verse 20. "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Our second point, a lasting joy. What a benefit of the resurrection. Can you imagine? Jesus died on the cross again. They all witnessed it. They heard about it. The saddest day of their lives, we anticipated this man, the man who opened the eyes of the blind, who fed 5,000 with just a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. Can you imagine? And here he himself resurrected the dead. Now all hope is dashed. All joy is gone. There will be no more joy. No dancing at home. That's how they felt until they saw the Lord. Until they witnessed Jesus. That's an amazing thing. There's something about death of our loved ones. We are confident with the death of our loved ones in Christ, we'll be reunited. When Jesus resurrected, and Acts chapter 1 says that he moved around this planet for 40 days after the resurrection. In one of those appearances, it's recorded in John chapter 20, verse 20 of John, that when he, in his resurrected body, somehow walked right through the walls because they were behind closed doors for fear, that Jesus was in their midst. And it was at that time that the scripture says, and their hearts were glad when they saw the Lord. Do you remember when the women, we had Andre read that passage to us during our service time, and it was in Matthew chapter 28, verse 8. It says, when the women left the empty tomb, that they ran their hardest to report back to the disciples with both fear and great joy. Can you imagine? What a combo. How do you get fear and great joy? But that's an amazing thing. When we see the Lord in the outcome, there's something of a lasting joy. Wow, it's amazing. And then Jesus says, just in case you're not aware what that looks like, he cites what it is when a woman is about ready to give birth. What an amazing thing. Now, I've witnessed the birth of some children, my own primarily, and it looks very painful. It looks sorrowful to me. It's distressing. It's all-consuming, that's for sure. But then you hear the words, the baby's healthy, and you hear the sound of that baby. And all of that anguish, agony, is eclipsed by the pure joy at a human being. Jesus knew about that. They're starting to register with the disciples. They're aware of that. It's an amazing thing what that is like. Maybe you don't know what childbirth is all about, I remember the little line from the comedian Carol Burnett once said to a man. It says, if you don't know what it's like to give birth to a baby, then you just go ahead and grab your bottom lip and try pulling it over your head. Ow, that would hurt, don't you think? I do too. So you can imagine when we take a look at this, there is joy on the inward part of a person that has a relationship with God through Jesus. I'm trusting that that's happening to you. Even as I'm speaking, I'm just feeling like the joy of the Lord, that's our strength, is coming to you. But if there is no joy, then it might say something about our relationship with God, because joy really is a condition of the inward soul. Billy Sunday once said, if you have no joy in your religion, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. If there is no joy, you're going through something that is just so traumatic to you. God's there to help you. You might even be in that area where you're feeling the darkness that comes. You're in a dark place, and you're the place of shadows. I recognize how Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it encouraged us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul the Apostle wrote that when he was in prison. He was not sure whether he would come out alive. He had a death sentence on him and feeling he was going to be executed, but he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's an amazing thing, a lasting joy. So let's let your sorrow, if you're feeling that, be turned to joy. There is a lasting joy. And finally, number three, a lingering peace. What an amazing thing for us to have. In verse 30, let's just read that passage once again. And it says, now when we, the disciples, said, are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you by this, we believe that you came forth from God. Now, that's a great statement, isn't it? But see, Jesus, who knows all things, goes on and says in verse 31, and Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things, verse 33, he says, I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What an amazing thing. Our last point, a lingering peace. I find it fascinating that when Jesus starts to give analogies of what it's like to be sorrowful and then turn to joy, oh yeah, we now believe that you came from God. That could be many people. Oh yeah, we believe in you. But when the going gets tough, Jesus knew them, didn't he? He says, you're all going to depart. You will all leave me. But he says, I'll always have the Father. You who are believers in Christ, God is the one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can have that assurance as well. It's amazing. How could they have that lingering peace? You know why? When they saw the resurrected Redeemer, when they recognized it's Jesus, they knew instantly, we remember he said these things to us. The word of God does not change. Lord, you told us about it. Now it makes sense. What that was telling them is that God knows the future and God is in control of everything. Nothing catches God off guard, even this pandemic, even possibly the fear or attempts to remove maybe some of your stable provisions. God knows, and he knows how he's going to supply for you. What a great God that we have. So what's next for the followers of Jesus? We know that the world, he says very clearly, in this world, you'll have tribulation. There could be some pain, sorrow, or confusion, but God offers us hope and joy and a lasting peace. What a great resurrection we have. How do we know that he resurrected? Boy, there's so much evidence. First of all, Jesus really predicted, he prophesied that he would rise from the dead. It's an amazing thing. Matthew 16:21, John chapter 2, verse 19. John 10, verse 18, Jesus said, this is what's going to happen, and on the third day, I will rise from the dead. We also have just witness. Scripture says so clearly in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, that there have been numerous witnesses, names are listed there, but up to over 500 that have witnessed Jesus. That would hold true in any court hearing. Do we have a witness to this? And then finally, the lives of Jesus' followers. Those who scattered and ran ended up saying, man, there is life in Christ. There is eternal life. And we've got to get the news out, even to the point where each one of the 12 gave their lives as martyrs. And there continues today to have people that have surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's next for you? We'd love to have all of us have the "and they lived happily ever after." Wouldn't it be great? Well, this message is about to conclude. And that could be really true. We will all live forever, each and every one of us. But we will determine here on this earth where that forever will be. Some might be cast into hell. Some will be offered heaven because of Jesus. But you make that choice. Happily ever after. It's an important thing. Beyond a living hope, lasting joy, and lingering peace, you can have heaven. Heaven is yours. I want to invite you right now. Let's pray and let's continue to believe the Lord to have His way in your life right now. If you have not prayed with us during this or you joined us a little late, we did pray to present our lives and confess even our sins and say, Lord, I need you. Here's an opportunity now to do just that. We welcome you to pray this simple prayer with me. What's next for you? Let's make sure that as you surrender your life, that you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. To Jesus, we give it our all. Let me pray with you right now, repeating this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world. And right now, Almighty God, I confess my sins to you. Forgive me of all my sins that I have done against you and against others. Oh Lord, I invite you into my life to stay forever. I'm going to trust you for eternal life in heaven. And now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want. Today, I surrender everything. It's what you want, dear Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, Scripture says in Luke 15, verse 7, when one sinner repents, all the angels in heaven rejoice. They know. You may not have anybody there in your house watching and praying that prayer to God, is who you prayed it to. But everybody in heaven knows there is more joy in heaven, verse 10 says, of Luke 15, over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons. Hallelujah. We congratulate you. Let's sing to the Lord, shall we? So we bring this wonderful Easter Sunday. Because of you, God has come to give his life and to give new life through the resurrection. Glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed his victory. The King of love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on the cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, the veil was torn, where sacrifice was made, as the heavens roared. Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh,
we have a Savior of the entire world. And that invitation's for everyone on this planet. It may seem a little narrow through Jesus, but that invitation's for everyone. Please tell everyone what Jesus means to you. Well, at this time, I want to welcome my wife, Ainsley. Honey, come on down here. I always look better with you next to me, so I feel much more comfortable as well. So thank you for that. What a great Easter Sunday. A little bit different, but it really helped me to just see so many familiar faces, happy faces, sending us greetings. We want to thank each and every one of you for your participation. For you who are watching via live stream, thank you. You who are watching by YouTube or even Facebook, thank you. We recognize there are so many that call Hope Chapel their church. And I just want to remind our church members, thank you. It really would be that wonderful time. I'll be addressing you toward the end of the service. But also, if you are interested in just extending those gifts of gratitude to the Lord, you can do that by just going on the website and maybe even typing in hopechapelhb.org/give. That'll get you right there, hopechapelhb.org/give. And we are having people that will send their tithes or their offerings through the mail.
Yes, we have a P.O. Box. It's 548-548 in Huntington Beach, and our zip code is 92648.
Well, we're believing that this distancing will once again be removed. Let's continue to believe that. I believe the Lord has done some powerful miracles for each and every one of you. Ainsley and I and our team just love, enjoy reading and just gazing at the miracle working power of God through each of you. So send us an email. We would welcome that. You can find that at the bottom of your screen if you're watching us via live stream on our website. We look forward to those updates or even those prayer requests. We will be praying for you till we meet again next Sunday. I also want to just thank our wonderful pastoral team, David Liu leading us in worship, Andre Mansour. We're so grateful. Honey, thank you. Just yes. An angel voice. Well, we're going to extend our blessings to you on this beautiful Easter Sunday. Let's continue that celebration. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for those who have surrendered their lives to you today. But for all of us, we receive the blessings of Almighty God because of Jesus. And according to your word in Numbers 6, we just speak now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord cause his countenance to come upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Happy Resurrection Day from Paul and Ainsley and the rest of us from Hope Chapel.
That's right. God bless you.